Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It is hour two on a Friday, the Friday before Sunday's Super Bowl. It's going to be wet lightning, according to latest Tampa reports. This is The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Joy Taylor joins me. Malcolm Jenkins, formerly of the Eagles, now of the Saints, a team I think has the best roster. He'll talk about Tom Brady, like to defend him, like to face him. He faced him three times this year. All right, Joy. If I asked you who you like to win, I'm going to give my pick in 2 minutes.
I have my pick.
You can give it. You don't have to. Is it a secret?
What do you no, it's not a secret. The Fox Sports Radio just tweeted all of our picks. No, I have the Chiefs winning 38-34.
Okay, you have a shootout.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm reading Clark Hunt. He's the CEO and the Kansas City Chiefs chairman, and he's talking about how, you know, Mahomes is so much better, so much quicker than Jordan, and Jordan took time and time and time. I think one of the things about the NFL that is so unique, and I've always been a big fan of recruiting and the NFL draft. I have friends who have listened to me in Los Angeles 15 years ago, and they're like, "You were so into the draft. Like, who cares about drafts?" A friend of my own says that. He goes, you were so into it, you made me into the draft. This is one of the things, this is why I love the draft and why I love football. In baseball, Bryce Harper, everybody knew he was going to be great at 16. We knew A-Rod was going to be great at 17. They were writing stories about him. In the NBA, LeBron and Kobe were turning heads at 15 and 16. Tiger, 13 years old. Serena and Venus, 12, 13. Connor McDavid hockey. In every other sport, there's no big surprises on the next star. In the NFL, you have no idea where they're coming from. Josh Allen went to a JUCO. Russell Wilson had to transfer. Brady backed up in college. Mahomes had a losing record at a losing program. Aaron Rodgers, nobody offered him a scholarship. He went to a junior college. You have no idea where the next, forget the player, the next star of the league comes from. Think about this. From 2000 to 2017, that's almost two decades, the number one high school football quarterback recruit, 17 years of the number one. One even starts in the NFL and he's never won a playoff game, Matt Stafford. One of 17 starts in the league. It doesn't work that way in basketball. It doesn't work that way in hockey. Connor McDavid was playing juniors in Canada. He was 15 years old, and everybody was like, oh, he's the next Gretzky. Bryce Harper, A-Rod. You see it coming for miles. You have no idea. Think about this. The last three number one quarterbacks all transferred. Joe Burrow transferred. Baker Mayfield transferred. Kyler Murray transferred. First team's like, nah, you're not good enough. All right, go to the other place. It's really amazing. There's nothing else like it. Serena, Venus, you're talking about them were kids. Tiger was kids. That's the way it works in every sport. Michael Phelps was at the Olympics at 15. There are no late bloomers at the Olympics. Like everybody knows when you're 13, 14, 15 Olympic sports, you know, you're going to be the next star, men or women. So it's who would have guessed Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady? One couldn't start in college, one didn't, lost. In fact, I've said the last time that I can really think of it where there was a legendary high school quarterback, legendary college, came to the NFL was Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was unbelievable in high school. He's unbelievable in college. He was very good. That one was like, you could see Peyton Manning was a 78-mile-an-hour curveball. You could see it coming for miles. It was a bad boxer. You could see the right hook for miles. Peyton Manning was, oh, he's going to be good. 5 years later, he is good. 6 years later, he's in the NFL. That's it, though. It doesn't work that way. Everybody's transferring, going to junior college. Big Ben's going to Miami of Ohio. It's crazy.
Maybe it has something to do with the fact that there's so many more moving parts in football than there are in other sports.
You depend on more people.
Like in an individual sport like Michael Phelps or Serena or, you know, a track star, like it's just you. Like you're just going to be better or you're not. You can't rely on anybody else. It's just you running the race. It's just you swimming. Like there's a lot of moving parts in football. Maybe that has something to do with
You really rely on other people for your success.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. Football practice is hard. It weeds a lot of people out. Like I've talked to general managers for years. They're like, the reason the NFL draft, half the NFL is undrafted, which is insane. It's insane. They're like, you can measure biceps, 40s, shuttle, bench. What you can't measure is for the first time in a football player's life, you get this in boxing a little too, somebody punches back. Like in the NBA, Giannis, he's dunked over everybody since he was 15. Like there's nobody. But in football, he hits you as hard as you hit him. And that's within you. Some guys just don't have the stomach to get hit. They bulldoze their way over high school players. They bulldoze their way over college players. And they get to the NFL and they get bulldozed occasionally and they don't like it. The bully gets bullied and they don't like it. And that's part of the NFL. It weeds out a lot of people beyond athleticism. All right, so let's just make a pick. Like many games in the playoffs, I had very little conviction. In fact, the most conviction I had, really, honestly, was Green Bay over Tampa, and that didn't work out. So I say this knowing I can see several outcomes. But I get a lot of more with Kansas City minus three. They're more dynamic with extra time. Andy Reid is 26-5 following a bye, best in NFL history. They're more dynamic, period. 34 points a game in Patrick Mahomes, 7 career playoff starts. They have more experience. 33 different players on their roster have played in a Super Bowl, Tampa 6. They're more capable of playing in bad environments. They were the only NFL team to go undefeated on the road this year. I have more proof Kansas City's better than Tampa because I saw them chew them up and spit them out in Week 12. I have proof, more of it, that Mahomes will handle the pressure. In two playoff games, when throwing the ball with pressure, Mahomes has a passer rating of 102. In three playoff games, when Brady faces pressure, he has a quarterback rating, a passer rating of 31. I have more proof that Tom will struggle early in this game. In the first half of his last three Super Bowls, 0 touchdowns, 3 picks, and a 74.2 quarterback rating. I've just got more signs that Kansas City's better. And more signs that Brady will struggle early and against pressure. I think a lot of this game is played within the 20s. I think Super Bowls, though Tampa has a deeper roster, are generally decided by stars. I will take Kansas City to win 31-24. I do not say this with great conviction. The weather's crappy. It hurts the more vertical offense. That would be Kansas City. Tampa's at home. The Chiefs have a major left tackle injury. They're using a backup against a dominating pass rush, JPP, Shaq Barrett. Vita Vea is healthy, meaning the Chiefs won't run a ton. But like last year, I thought San Francisco was better than Kansas City. I thought they had a better defensive line and offensive line than Kansas City. And then the Chiefs scored 21 points in 5 minutes and 5 seconds and blew my bet out of the water. I find it very difficult to bet against special. There's so many reasons I would take Tampa in this game. Brady's experience, they're playing at home, their defensive line is better, their linebackers are better. I think overall their defense is scarier. But I'll take Kansas City. 31-24, I've just got more proof, more dynamic. More wins off a bye, more capable of blowing out Tampa because I've seen it. Less chance of a quarterback struggling early. Mahomes over Brady. More pressure hurts Brady more than Mahomes. And there you have it. By the way, Brady's been sacked 5 times when under pressure. Mahomes only 1. Mahomes does have, I was listening to Aqib Talib talk about this the other day. Every quarterback has a kind of a style the way they play. And Peyton Manning was known for having busy feet. He was always moving his feet. It looked nervous. Everybody's got something. Omaha, and nervous feet. When you look at Mahomes, his signature style is the back pedal. He just keeps back. He has such confidence in his arm. He just keeps backpedaling and backpedaling. He's like 12 steps deep, and it doesn't really matter. He can make those throws. So even though Tampa will get pressure, Mahomes is sort of a master of backing up, and still burning you. But we'll see. If we got 16, 18-mile-an-hour winds, Tyreek Hill over the top's not going to happen. So, you know, it's the way a Super Bowl should be. I'm happy either way. I know y'all think you're a Brady fan, but I do think, and I've said this for years, there is a little bit of a LeBron fatigue in the NBA. He's dominated for so long. There's a Brady fatigue. I think if Kansas City wins, my numbers are higher Monday on this show than if Brady wins. I think people come in, oh, Colin, what are you going to say about your guy Brady? And I think Brady and LeBron are respected, but I do think there's a little bit of a fatigue going on. And I think for the NFL, I think Kansas City winning's better. I think we have a dynasty. I think we have a dynasty. Leagues get a little concerned, but the NFL ratings for 20 years with New England went up. And they were up with the Steelers, and they were up with the Niners. When they're not up is when quarterback plays average and anybody can win.
Dynasties are better. Fans think that they hate them, but they actually watch more.
Of course.
In a way, it gives you someone to root against.
As long as the dynasty's interesting. When the Yankees in the 90s had all those stars and A-Rod and Jeter, or 2000s, like that, that's fascinating.
But even the Patriots, they weren't, you know, they were very quiet. They weren't dramatic, but everyone hated them.
Right.
So it gave you someone to root against. This is the Cowboys. You either love or you hate the Cowboys.
Yeah,
right?
The Jimmy Johnson Cowboys were good for the league.
Yes.
The Niners were good for the league.
If you can be polarizing.
Yeah. So I think Monday, if they win, I do think, I said this earlier, I do feel like it's a little bit the risky business moment for Tom Cruise. Everybody knew who Tom Cruise was. He'd done several nice movies. Then he did risky business in his underwear, and he became iconic. And you can win one Super Bowl, but when you win a second and Mahomes beats Brady head-to-head, he'll become iconic. And we were talking this morning, like, where will he be all time with quarterbacks? I don't know. But there's like 4 or 5 people I put ahead of him, Montana, you know, Brady, Peyton Manning, Elway. And then the list gets, you know, Mahomes, to me, what do you do with Favre, Rodgers, and Mahomes? Then you have argument. I still think Elway, Brady, Montana, Peyton, I'm going to give those guys, that's kind of a different class. But if Mahomes wins a second, there are arguments to be made about Favre and Rodgers and you know, Fouts. And that's when you're going to get in Steve Young. You're going to get into the argument class and longevity against brilliance. You know, Sandy Koufax is considered the greatest pitcher of all time. He had 3 unhittable years and 6 good years. He was really good for 6. He was unhittable for 3, and we consider him the best. Like, it's not, I said this before, it's not a longevity argument when you look like Mahomes. Like, with Brady, he can keep winning, but because we think the best quarterback should have a rocket arm and move around like Elway, John's the best. It's amazing how often we give aesthetically, optically pleasing quarterbacks the benefit of the doubt. Favre won 1 Super Bowl, Aaron won. They're the best. Brady wins 6. He's a system guy. Mahomes is not going to have to win 6. If he wins 3, we'll immediately put him up there with Joe and Tom because he plays like the best quarterback should play. He's very Elway. He's got the best arm. He runs around. He ad-libs. He doesn't look. He throws left-handed. That matters in the argument. I said this. Bill Russell had 11 titles. Nobody ever called him the GOAT. His game didn't look like the GOAT. And then Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan was the best-looking player, and he was the most stylish, and he was the most glamorous, and he was the best, and he was the best dressed, and you're like, yeah, that's a GOAT. He's got half as many as Russell, but that's what the GOAT is. And that's why it matters, like with LeBron. We watch him, his game can be dominating, he can shoot, he's got a coolness to him, the passing. You know, you start looking at the greatest basketball players, there isn't an aesthetic that matters. Like Bill Russell, Kareem, by the way, I could argue is the best player. He's got the most points, the MVPs. But Kareem's game was the sky hook, and it just wasn't.
What's the saying? I'm about to butcher it. It's not like what you accomplish, it's what you make people feel.
Yeah, yeah.
I know I slaughtered that. But
no,
like,
but you're right. It's not how you make me think. It's how you make me feel. The great politicians. It's not about being smart. How do they make you feel?
Yeah, if you make someone emote, they're going to remember that. Like, the things you remember in life the most is when you were, like, the most emotionally vulnerable, whether it was, like, anger or sorrow or happiness. And, like, spectacular, glamorous players make you feel. Like, you remember seeing Michael Jordan do this amazing thing in his sixth championship. You remember LeBron's, like, big moments.
Right.
You know, and if it's, like, longevity, but it's not really, like, spectacular.
Mahomes is spectacular.
Yes.
So he doesn't need six rings to be considered the GOAT. Malcolm Jenkins, great player, Pro Bowler, Saints, faced Tom three times this year. I think he was healthy for all. He may have missed one. Well, I'll ask him coming up. I'll check.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
New tracks, new teams, and a new champ. The 2021 NASCAR season starts in just 9 days with the Great American Race, the Daytona 500, February 14th, only on Fox.
Malcolm Jenkins is one of the more accomplished human beings in the NFL. He's a two-time Super Bowl champ, 12 years, multiple Pro Bowls. He's now a filmmaker and has given Tom Brady more than his share of trouble. He is joining us live to add to his resume. I am told Malcolm is wearing a sports jacket that he made. Come on, tell me, could you give some of us a break in life? What are you, you're a designer?
Yeah, you know, DeMarceville is my company. I've had it for a while now. It's, you know, I enjoy looking nice, and I figure why not design my own clothes?
Yeah, I want to look nice, too. I can't design my own stuff. So you faced Brady in a Super Bowl and beat him. And he had, you know, that was a pretty good day for Tom. He lost the game, but had good. I think it was only one punt in that Super Bowl. And you faced him three times this year. So if you had to tell a young safety who had never Malcolm faced Tom, what would you tell him? What would be the little two or three secrets you'd tell him to have any success against him?
Well, I think you got to know at all times he's reading the safeties. You know, he is very much a advantage quarterback. So if you give him a look, he's going to do what's most advantageous for his defense. So if you're in split safety, you can be ready to get a run. If you're in a down safety, you know he's going to probably pass it. If you've got open gaps in the run and he sees it, you know, he'll do that. And what he'll do is he'll wait, you know, in his hard count, he'll wait in the shot clock to see if you can tip that or not, because he always wants to know where you are. They're going to start with a running back and put him out at a receiver and motion him back in just to see if you're a man-to-man. So if you can play with those kind of rules, if you know what he's looking at, you can slow his read down just a little bit post-snap. If you can confuse him with the pre-snap look, but that's going to take a coordination, not only from the safety, but from your linebackers, from your D-line. Everybody's got to be on the same page. Otherwise he'll see what's out of place and know what you're in.
You know, it's interesting. John Elway, Mahomes, and Brady, this is really a weird thing to say, but I always feel like if Aaron Rodgers struggles earlier, throws a pick, his body language changes. He's not quite as aggressive. Elway, Mahomes, and Brady, I don't know. They could have four picks. It's just the way they don't care. So now that's just me as an observer of football. But I'm watching Tommy throw three picks in the second half against Green Bay. He couldn't give a rip. You've had some success against him. Is there I don't know if it's relentlessness. I mean, when you watch Tommy, do you ever feel like in a game you've got his number? Or is it a chess match for 3.5 hours?
Well, I think it's a chess match for 3.5 hours. I think we've seen games where he's gotten behind or teams have gotten after him. Even us with the Saints, we got after him and blew him out one time this year. And in that game, you didn't see him, you know, press. And never did we feel like, okay, we got control of this. You know that he has that gear, and because he's so persistent, that at any point in time, if you let your guard down or let him figure you out, he will come back and make those plays. So it's one of those things you've got to be, you know, always one step, two step, three steps ahead for the entire game, because he is, you know, him being frustrated at an interception is not going to stop him from executing his offense if you allow it.
Now you face Mahomes as well. You had some success against Mahomes. Did you feel like when you face Patrick, okay, he's really talented, but I can fool him a little more. I can manipulate him a little more because of my age and experience advantage.
No, you know what? With Patrick, it's the opposite. You never know what he's going to do. So with Tom, you know he's going to be 3 yards behind the line, behind the center, and you know where he's going to be. Patrick Mahomes, they're running shovel passes. Their play design is crazy. They got motions all over the place. They got speed all over the place. And even when you get to him, he's elusive enough to either scramble for a first down or make some guys miss. And once you get off schedule, those plays are very, very hard to defend. And that's – so you're really thinking about being more disciplined when you play a quarterback like Pat Mahomes. Everybody's got to win their matchups. Everybody's got to stay home. You've got to know some of the tips and keys. And then he's just going to – you have to be ready for him to make plays. He's throwing – you know, the angles at which he throws the ball are crazy. You don't see him anywhere else. And he's just going to make plays, and you have to survive those. So it's definitely a different approach for both quarterbacks.
So 39 players on both teams have played in a Super Bowl. That means more than half have not. So I want you to go back to your Super Bowl. Even for a veteran, a cagey guy like you, when you come out of that tunnel, Bill Romanowski once told me, he was in a bunch of them, he said, that first quarter I was in the Super Bowl, I don't remember it. He goes, it was just flash bulbs. I lost myself, and all I know, I was in the third series. He goes, I don't even know what happened. So you tell me, you know, we got Tampa's got a lot of guys who have never been in a Super Bowl, Malcolm. Were you a little on edge first quarter?
So the last time I was in the Super Bowl was my second time around. So I was a little bit, you know, I understood what was going into it. And that's what it comes down to. Can you block out the moment, right? The all of the lights and the pressure that surrounds this game and focus on the game? It's the same game that you've been playing. So when I was in my last Super Bowl, those first three series, while they're going to be, you know, you're anxious, you're excited, it's going to go fast. But I was able to kind of slow the game down. My first time those first few drives, I don't know what happened. Like, you just get out there, stuff's moving, you come back, you drink some water, and then you're looking at the pages. You don't even remember the plays, you know? And so it's like, who can – so I think the Tampa defense especially, like, they're going to have to settle down very, very early in this game and just do and focus on the things that got them to this place, taking the ball away, being disruptive on the quarterback, tackling with physicality. Those are the same things that win a Super Bowl, are the same thing that have put you in that Super Bowl. And it's just the teams who can focus on those the most, the earliest, that seem to get settled in.
By the way, you faced Bruce Arians many times. You faced Andy Reid multiple times. My gut feeling is Andy Reid's got a lot more motion. That's what I would think. Is that the difference between the two?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, Bruce Arians wants to throw it down the field. You'll get those slot formations, max protection looks, take a shot. And then the rest is kind of Tom Brady just playing at the line of scrimmage based off of what the look the defense gives. When you get to the Andy Reid and the Chiefs offense and Bieniemy, you've got motions, you've got shifts, you've got shovel passes, you've got, you know, all kind of things, runs where you got gap scheme runs, zone runs, speed everywhere, orbit motion. You know, there's so many things that you've got to deal with that offense that it definitely creates some problems with your eyes. And as soon as your eyes aren't in the right place, you got somebody behind your defense.
Who do you like to win?
You know, it's really hard to bet against Tom Brady in these things. But when I've played both of these teams, what the Kansas City Chiefs present as a unit, from the play calling all the way down to the personnel on the field, it's just really hard to defend and really hard to win. And if their defense plays well, which I expect them to, I see the Kansas City Chiefs winning this one.
By the way, you are a filmmaker of some acclaim now, Oscar nominated.
Trying to get Oscar nominated.
Okay, yeah. It says here you recently won a film festival. It's on Peacock. It's called Black Boys. It's Black History Month. What's it about?
So it's really just diving into the humanity of Black boys. Oftentimes we only see kind of the two polar opposites, whether it's the athletes and entertainers or it's the negative stereotypes that we see in the media and news and things like that. And rarely do we ever just dive into the spectrum of humanity of Black boys. And oftentimes it's ignored. And it's reflected as early as our school age. You know, kids go to school, they read literature that doesn't talk about Black heroes. It has white heroes in it. They have less than 2% of educators are Black men. So you can go your entire time in school without seeing a Black man in front of the room. And then what does that just already tell you about yourself when it comes to leadership and things like that? So it's really just diving into that spectrum of humanity of Black boys, putting it on display and understanding how, as we as a society, have to do a better job of not trying to, you know, uplift black boys, but really just believing that black boys are worthy and able to just be themselves.
Malcolm, I said this multiple times when there was a lot of players going out publicly with the NFL. I love the manner in which you did it. You weren't trying to win arguments. You were trying to enlighten the league. And I thought it was you had a professionalism the way you did it that ingratiated yourself to fans, to people of color, to people that you had to often have strong disagreements with. And I just thought you held yourself to a standard that is so redeemable, and you're really a credit to the league, and I love having you on the show. I know you got a lot of options, and you chose us today, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. Malcolm Jenkins, a great player, a filmmaker, and he made his own suit. For guys like me, come on, made his own suit. I want to look good, too. I can't make my own suit. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Chiefs have a chance to be the first back-to-back Super Bowl champions in 16 years this
Sunday.
That
seems wrong. Now, the Patriots didn't do back-to-backs. Yeah.
It's been a long time. And Andy Reid's teams are especially good when they have a week off, and Travis Kelce says they feel more prepared than ever.
You know, we've had the full game plan in for the past 2 weeks, and we've been able to, you know, get after it in practice. I think just going into a bye week before the actual game, Coach Reid does a great job of just challenging us to make sure that we don't miss a day. We don't miss a snap. We don't miss a rep. And sure enough, I think we're as ready as we've ever been this week.
Yep, he's 26-5 off a bye. Speaks for itself.
Exactly. That's the best record for after a bye for any head coach since byes became standardized in 1990. He's amazing at that. But what is always impressive about Andy Reid is the looseness that they feel. Like, he's so prepared, but it's not like a stiff prepared, like, okay, we're prepared, we're focused. Like we know what you have to do. As people ask me all the time, like, do you ever get nervous going on air? I'm like, the only time I ever am nervous about anything is when I'm not prepared.
Same here.
If I don't know what's going on.
Don't make me ad lib about something.
About something that I don't know what I'm even talking about. Yeah. Like, that's when I'm in a bad situation. But no, of course not. We do 2 hours of prep call and then do another meeting with our producers. Like, we're very prepared for this. It's not like we're coming up here winging it. We make it look natural.
Yes.
That's what they do. Right. That's what they do when you're really prepared. I also have no conviction in my pick whatsoever. Yeah. I have the Chiefs winning 38-34. I say that with zero conviction. This is one of those games, it's similar to last year, but I feel like even more this year, where the outcome really is not going to affect me either way emotionally.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping for a good game.
Yeah, I don't want a blowout.
Yeah. I
want a good show Monday.
There's historical implications no matter which way it goes, yeah. So I'm just looking forward to a great matchup. So Deshaun Watson is hoping to be out of Houston soon. One rumored landing spot has been with the Raiders. So the Honesty Broker for America suggested that first.
Me. Thank you, Joy.
But John Gruden is not expecting the Texans to let Deshaun go. He said, I personally look at this as like a fantasy world. They have a new GM who comes from New England. He just went through a year without Brady. I think he has a pretty good idea how important Deshaun is. I don't think there's any way in the world they trade Deshaun. And if they did, the compensation is going to be kind of like the Rams. You have to give up 7 number ones you'll never draft again.
That's funny.
So, well, I mean, he is right about how much you're going to have to give up.
Yeah,
now,
are.
Not ever drafting again is here's the thing. If you are, and most of these GMs are very intelligent people who understand the game, it's not exactly true that you're never going to draft again, because you can make other trades for other people's draft picks.
That's right.
And move things around. It's not like you're like, okay, it's not like the NBA. You're like, oh, I'm never going to draft in the first round ever again, like
right.
5 years from now.
Yeah.
No, you can make some other moves. You can move some other veteran players around and get draft picks. If that's even what you need. Now, obviously you need some draft, but you're not going to never draft in the first round again. There's ways to move around that.
Yeah.
And you're talking about Deshaun Watson. Like, depending on where he goes, you are in immediate Super Bowl contention. If
That's
he
right.
goes to the Colts, you are, which, you know, I'm
anywhere
happen,
he goes, like, outside of the Jets. Anywhere.
Yes.
I mean, Colts.
I mean, Carolina, I think.
Boy, he'd make him good. I think Carolina would be scary. McCaffrey
would be scary,
and those receivers.
I don't know if it's. I think we'd need another year before they're in Super Bowl contention. Like, they're definitely going to make the playoffs and make some noise. But,
yeah.
I mean, he's really that good.
Yeah.
Again, Kareem Jackson said he's spoken to Watson a couple times, and Watson is interested in landing with the Broncos. So it's all kind of the same division.
By the way, I love the Broncos skill people.
No, I think it'd be great there.
Yeah, Denver's got good tight ends, good backs, good receivers. Denver's not a bad spot at all.
No, I like it. So the Cowboys are back in the same position they were last offseason with Dak Prescott in this contract situation. Never in the history of my career have I talked more about someone's contract than Dak Prescott.
And he still hasn't signed it.
And it's we get to this point of fatigue with it, and then it's like, nope, start that over. We got to talk about it again. He's a free agent, obviously wants a long-term deal, and Carson Palmer thinks that Dak should be willing to take less money to help out the team.
Being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, there's a lot that comes with that financially. So you don't have to be the top paid quarterback in the league. They're a household name. You've seen Dak on tons of commercials and endorsements. You know, you can make that same top tier money if you're Dak and you take a little bit less. You know, you can keep Zeke Elliott and you can keep all the players around you because those guys can get re-signed within the salary cap structure.
That was always my argument for D. Wade, is that if I get Pat Riley and I keep getting a Shaq and this and that, I'm in a state with no state tax, the most attractive free agent market. I'm not saying, guys, you know, take what you want to take, but there was a point where D. Wade had made his money. Pat Riley was giving him such good players. I was like, you can make an argument when you get with these kind of iconic franchises in states with no state tax, where you get, I mean, D. Wade had at one point like 8 commercials running.
Well, and he did take less money. They all took less money. So LeBron, Bosh, and Wade took less money to play together.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are moments, there are times, Brady, a prime example, where, oh, I can get a left tackle and an elite corner if I take,
because once you get to a certain threshold, and you've won a title, you have your accomplishments in place. Yeah. What is the difference between making $40 million and $35 million? Now, that's easy for us to say, but there's other ways you can make up that money. Like, you're never going to make up that money, but you can get to that number that you want through outside sources. Here's the problem. Dak Prescott hasn't been paid, and he hasn't won a championship. And he was great, depending on your opinion of him, we'll call it good to make everyone comfortable, for his rookie contract. And they had the flexibility to do all of that.
Yeah.
And they didn't win. So if I'm Dak Prescott, you got to show me the money. Like, that's, I'm on his side. Now, again, I don't know how I would do it if I was in his situation, so I'm not going to count other people's pockets. I probably would take less money because I would want to win championships and be a little bit flexible. And, like, what is less money? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's deals you can work out, to Carson's point. It's going to cost $37.7 million to franchise tag Dak Prescott this upcoming season. He made $31.4 last season. Carson will also be on the show at 2:15 Eastern. So
good stuff. Enjoy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Eric Mangini's got 3 rings, joins us next, The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Eric Mangini won 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots. He is now joining us live from Ohio. I want to talk about this game we've got Sunday. Let's start with this, Eric, Fox Sports NFL analyst. The Chiefs' offensive line has injuries. That concerns me. Will it be a major problem for the Chiefs, in your opinion?
Well, it's only going to be a major problem if Tampa Bay does some things differently than they did the last time they played. This whole offense, Colin, is based off of timing and spacing, and there's quick answers on every single play. So unless they do something to disrupt those wide receivers, it's not really going to matter from a defensive line standpoint or an offensive line standpoint. They gotta create some time for those defensive linemen to get there. I'd say the second thing is the D-line's got to keep him in the pocket. And I've talked about this over and over again. They'll rush up the field and they create those lanes. And I know he's dealing with injuries and the concussion and all those things. But the Super Bowl, that doesn't matter. And I'd say the last thing is they've got to create some kind of confusion pre-snap so that he just doesn't know where to go with the ball right away. Those things have to change for that defensive line to really take advantage of Kansas City's O-line.
So Brady's never been a good first quarter Super Bowl quarterback. You were with him in 3 of those. Is it by design? Was Belichick more conservative or was Tom anxious? He didn't play well early in Super Bowls.
No, I can promise you it was not by design. We wanted to score as much as we could, as early as we could. But a lot of those Super Bowls, there's so much emotion leading up to it that the pregame isn't what you're used to. Guys can be emotionally hijacked. Everybody's feeling their way through it. It makes a lot of sense for it to be low scoring, because it takes a little while for everybody to realize, hey, this is just what we've been doing all along. Just settle down and start playing, and that's when the points, you know, start coming on.
I believe Brady. I don't think Mahomes needs a running game to succeed Sunday. I think Tom does. Do you agree or disagree?
I absolutely agree. The fact that they've committed more to the run later in the season and the postseason has been a huge part of what's helped them. And look, Kansas City beat Tom up with pressure the last time they played. And you look at those two picks that he had in the second half, and those were both pressure related. If you can run the ball some and slow those guys down and create some variety of your attack, that's going to help Tom significantly.
You know, Brady, instant success. You bring Brady in, he gets to a Super Bowl. Do you think it'll change the quarterback market where there'll be more movement? They won't be sacred cows anymore. Quarterbacks will be like everybody else. Trade them if they help you win tomorrow.
Well, it works both ways. You also don't want to be the team that trades your guy and he goes somewhere else and gets a Super Bowl. That's incredibly frustrating. And you're seeing it with the young guys, with how well Ryan Tannehill has done in Tennessee. And then you had Peyton Manning. Really, the Colts should have kept him an extra year, even when they had Andrew Luck, and he goes somewhere else. Now Tom has the success he has. When I had Brett Favre, we were doing pretty well until he got dinged up. Now, paying the price that the Rams just paid for Matt Stafford, we're going to have to see whether or not that's close to being worthwhile.
Yeah, there's a lot of picks they gave up. So when you give the pocket, Brady's the last pocket passer in this league that wins big, but there's a lot of pocket guys, Stafford and Matt Ryan and Goff and Cousins, and they win. They win a lot. 19 of 21 quarterbacks that have won the Super Bowl have been pocket guys. Russell Wilson, Mahomes, move more. If you had a chance today, I think it's rule-based, but if you had a chance to get a pure pocket guy or a guy that moved a lot, how do you delineate the two? Like, as a football guy, as the rules have changed, how do you look at mobility for a quarterback?
Well, we used to always talk about the idea of when the whole world knows that you have to pass, can you still throw the ball? And those are those moments where you're behind and it becomes a pure pocket passer type game. And there's a ton of value in those guys. And you want your guys to be able to move some to protect themselves. But if I had a choice between an RPO quarterback and a pocket passer, you take the passer every time. And look, RPOs are fashionable, and there's been some production, but the more times your quarterback gets hit, the more times you expose him to injury, it's just bad business over the long haul.
Yeah. By the way, that a year ago today, we were talking about a very cryptic Tom Brady image. It was that picture, the Hulu commercial, where is he leaving? Is he going? Is he changing? I said this before. Mahomes wins, the league wins, Andy Reid wins, the Hunt family wins. If Tampa wins, Tom wins, and Belichick doesn't look so good. There's a little vengefulness. Are you sad that Tom left? Do you think it could have been saved if Belichick gives up the personnel to somebody else and they can finally draft wide receivers? How do you, as somebody that was part of it, how do you look at Tom leaving today?
I don't even think it was a function of giving up the personnel or not giving up the personnel. In any relationship, when you've been together for 20 years, and remember, Tom was this young guy that was developed and then became a superstar, but it happens. You grow out of relationships. And one thing that Bill Belichick has done consistently well over the course of the 20 years is move on from guys before other people would have moved on from him. And he hasn't really been hurt by that over time. And he made a executive decision that in retrospect hasn't been what he hoped it would be, but it's hard to fault him based on it, on his track record. Would I have liked to see Tom again in New England this year? Would I think it would have been significantly better? Yeah, of course I would have. And I wanted him to finish there. But it really is hard when you look at Bill to say that he's made a lot of poor decisions in the area moving on from personnel.
Yeah. And by the way, I think he wanted Tom. Tom's the one that knocked on his door and said, I'm not coming back. It wasn't like Bill said, hit the road. Tom told Kraft.
I don't know about that. It felt a little bit like Tom wanted to be there, and it wasn't. It was unrequited love. And maybe maybe it was unrequited love at $50 million. Maybe, you know, at $15 million, that love would have been there.
All right. Eric, good seeing you. Enjoy the game. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.
Valentine's Day is coming. Add the wow factor. 1-800-FLOWERS right now. 18 red roses, $39.99, or upgrade to 24 red roses, $10 more. Go to 1-800-FLOWERS.com, radio icon, enter the code HERD, H-E-R-D. I love that picture. I love that little Tom Brady photo. We were all in a frenzy. We didn't know what to do with that picture. Where's he going?
It was very, very well done.
It was very
like
smart.
Zooming in. Is his foot going forward? Is it going backwards?
Is he coming at us, or is he going?
Yeah, you really can't tell. The angle of the knee bend is so good. It was really well done.
He's crafty.
Super Bowl commercials are.
They were great last year. It was a great year for commercials.
It's just it's a time for like creatives to thrive.
Yep, it is. Cremo Barber Shave Cream. I take it. Fights the burn. Get it at Amazon, major retailers, or cremocompany.com. CREMO. Stuff is great. Carson Palmer, Jason McIntyre's predictions last hour.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.